I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
Touché. There's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Gaubman. Touché. It's our weekly segment here on The Download, where a Democrat political analyst and a Republican political analyst discuss, debate, decry, and denounce the facts, the figures, and the philosophical approaches of both parties. In other words, touché.
Touché.
Chris Roebling is a Republican analyst, and in for Dave Lundy tonight, Tracy Seffel. She's a Democratic communication consultant, longtime Hillary supporter, worked on the 2008 campaign for her, and she as a senior advisor to Ready for Hillary. Tracy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome,
wow.
welcome.
Touché, touché.
Touché. All right, let's get right to it. The big news today was a poll, and I you know, and here comes, it's going to feel like it's going to be a poll every day, but the poll today said that the race between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is closer than expected, but it also showed some disinterest.
Well, Real Clear Politics average, the floating average of the national polls, actually had Trump ahead by 0.2%, which doesn't mean anything statistically. What it means statistically is that there's no significant difference between the value for Hillary's support and the value for Trump's support. But it does, I think, put the lie to a lot of the giddiness that Democrats had, not necessarily Tracy. I did not personally witness any giddiness on her part, but there was a lot coming out of Lundy, as you recall. Yeah. And I think, you know, we saw it in social media. All of the listeners were talking about how giddy David was about Trump winning the Republican nomination. Like, oh, we're going to win 49 states or something like this. And it's just not going to be that way.
Absolutely. I would like to know who those giddy Democrats are so I can give them a talking to, because I don't think that there's any possible reason to think that this race isn't going to be long, ugly, depressing.
Close.
Yeah. And, you know, we could really nerd out and look at some of the flaws of this recent polling that's just everyone's been so, you know, gaga over. There's some methodology flaws and other things like that. But I think more importantly, I would say, let's remember that it's May and these polls can't be, right. You know, we can't like retool our strategy every time one of these comes out. But, you know, I do think it's interesting that people are pointing to the so-called unfavorabilities of both candidates. But what I think is most interesting is that in those poll numbers, what you see is that Trump is also majority considered unqualified to be president. So it's one thing to not be liked. It's another thing to not be liked and not even be able to do the job.
Yeah, that rating is pretty high in the latest polls that a lot of Americans believe he's unqualified to be president.
That's water off duck's back. You know, people said that about Ronald Reagan in 1979, 1980. It didn't mean a thing then. It doesn't mean a thing now. If Trump gets his job, he's going to do fine. He'll be a great president. I think what's really happening out there, I said this last week, and I truly believe that Hillary's campaign is imploding. And we've been watching this over the last few weeks. I think we see that last week, for instance. It started when she claimed the nomination. She said it's all over to that guy that was one of the Democrats who works for NBC, Cuomo, and as opposed to the Democrats who work for ABC, Stephanopoulos, as opposed to, you know. So what you have here is she's, you know, kind of bearing her soul to Governor Cuomo's son. And she's saying, I've already got the nomination. And the truth is, Sanders is surging. And if they were running a Democratic primary on the Democrat side, then I think Sanders would be the nominee. But now you see, not only is Hillary imploding in that respect, but you see this Sanders versus Deborah
Wasserman
Schultz, the chairman of the DNC, where he's actually supporting her primary opponent in the August 30th Florida primary. I mean, how are you going to put your party back together, Tracy? I think that's the big question.
Well, if I was a Republican, that would sure be the big question. But as a Democrat, I have a couple points on that. First off, let's go back to the Chris Cuomo interview. Clarify, he's with CNN. So he's the Democrat at CNN.
They're all mainstream media, so they're all Democrats. Who needs to know which nameplate it is? They're all the same. They're the super PAC for the Democratic National Committee.
Whatever sort of Well, I don't know what's in your coffee tonight, but I will say that Chris Cuomo also did an interview with Trump recently where Trump was, he was like a wounded puppy because Chris didn't compliment him to start off the interview. It's an amazing transcript. Go find it online. And Trump says, I was hoping you would congratulate me instead of, you know, asking him a question like right. a reporter is supposed to do. So that aside, this implosion that you reference.
The Hillary campaign implosion with the 700 employees. How's that going?
Well, I will say the question about the Democratic Party, it doesn't surprise me at all that Bernie would be supporting Chairman Wasserman Schultz's primary opponent. That's his thing. I mean, that's like what he's been doing.
Right, right.
I think it's really interesting that, you know, you can look at the effect that this endorsement may have had. I think his primary opponent pulled in, you know, $250,000 as a result of it.
I mean, the Sanders, we've said this before, but it bears repeating yet again. The Sanders campaign on the left and the Trump campaign on the right are both setting up, I don't know, models of political behavior that are completely new, completely different. I mean, I really truly believe that.
But I guess the question would be, is that sustainable? Can a new system of political campaigning get them to November in against the sort of traditional Hillary Clinton sort of Democratic Party who's been through this before?
You know, to me, that's one of the most interesting characteristics of this election, that Hillary Clinton at, you know, 700 employees, whatever you want to say, disparaging about it, that is a machinery. It is, this is how we do things. This is how campaigns are run. This is the structure. This is the way it's going to happen. Trumpville is like crazy time. I mean, I don't know what goes on over there. I don't, you know, somebody, Robert Draper in the New York Times Sunday Magazine wrote that on Trump's plane, his aides were working on talking points. And I was shocked. I thought, Donald Trump actually has talking points? It seems like he just makes everything up as he goes. So again, the fundamental difference between these campaigns, one guy's making it all up and the other one's following the textbook. So who knows where this takes us?
Yeah, who knows where this takes us? I think the Hillary textbook campaign took her this afternoon to saying no to another campaign debate with Bernie Sanders out in California.
With Fox.
With Fox, although her campaign apparently said it had nothing to do with Fox. They've decided. And so, of course, Fox this afternoon was showing the tape from 2008 when Barack wouldn't debate with Hillary, when she was saying, this is the most important job in the world, and you ought to be out there contesting every vote and going to every debate. And the most important thing is to debate in front of the voters so that they can. And now here she is in the position where she's the front runner. It does very little for her to debate with Bernie at this point for California. And so she declines. That's what you get out of it.
It is inevitable that there's going to be tape brought back from 2008 since Hillary's in a different position now. I mean,
well,
it's inevitable
all she
that
ever
every
does
time
is have different positions.
All right. I walked right into that one. Chris Roebling's a Republican analyst. In for Dave Lundy tonight, Tracy Seffel. She's a Democrat communications consultant. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll continue. Touche here on The Download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It's Monday night. It's Touche here on The Download on 720 WGN. In studio, Chris Roebling, Republican analyst Dave Lundy is out tonight. Tracy Seffel's in. She's a Democratic communications consultant, a longtime Hillary supporter, worked on the 2008 campaign for her. All right, so we were talking about both campaigns. I'd love if you both could talk about the other campaign when it comes to the attack style of the two campaigns. We've seen in the last couple weeks now, Trump really going after Bill Clinton. We've seen Hillary doing the bully in the pulpit kind of dance, which was very uninspiring. But why don't we start with you, Tracy? What do you think of the way that Trump is attacking the Clinton campaign?
Astonishing, unpredictable, shameless. Truth is a malleable reality for him.
This is the Second Amendment stuff where...
Yes. Yeah, right. Let's just call it what it is. Lies. He lies. And it's, you know, it's fine if that's the way he's going to run this. And the reason I say that is because it just gives his opponents more fodder. I don't think any news program or cable channel can replay enough times some of the completely unintelligible things that he says. It diminishes him And he may see sort of instantaneous little burst of support from his diehards. But if he's giving us just an encyclopedia of personal, vitriolic, really inappropriate remarks, that's fodder for his opponents. But here's the thing that I think is most important. Anyone who claims to have any sort of punditry DNA knows that elections are about the future. Trump is just sitting back in the past and having a time with it. So he's fundamentally denying what an election should be about by his attacks. And it's going to be nuts.
Chris, what do you think of the way that Hillary's approaching Trump, the unelectable or not qualified, or the bully pulpit, bully in the pulpit stuff?
You know, I think that she hasn't reached the level that she achieved against, say, Monica Lewinsky or Juanita Broderick or, you know, I don't think that Hillary
is. Are they running for president?
Hillary is not, you know, in terms of the vile personal attacks, you know, what she did against Kathleen Willey, you know, I mean, the way that she has attacked women who have been assaulted by Bill Clinton gives her the grant of grace that has been bestowed upon her by the national media for doing so. OK, where she actually gets to claim that she's somehow concerned about women.
I feel like you're like getting paid to say the names of.
No, I'm bringing this up because I honestly, well, Tracy accepted.
Answer the question, though. What do you think of the
she
way
she hasn't
Hillary
gotten
Clinton...
anywhere close to okay. her, what she can do?
Okay.
We've seen how vicious she can be when she's attacking women who are victims of her own husband's sexual misconduct.
All right.
I'm telling
Chris
you.
Chris got the Trump talking point.
I don't have any Trump.
Hillary's not going to stoop to Trump's level. She's not going to do it. That's what surrogates are for. That's
Trump's
what her
level would
are
be
for.
A step up for Hillary. Trump's level. I mean,
what
really,
world
I don't
are
think.
Living in
I am you telling feel- you, I think that Trump, I'll tell you something. I think that Hillary has no right to run for president.
You've said that before.
And I think that Hillary, she has, you know, when you're talking about what Hillary is doing to attack Trump, I'm thinking about the folks around the world who lost out because Hillary, as Secretary of State, didn't have the guts to stand up and tell Obama that he was wrong about Syria or he was wrong about Libya. And instead, she was manipulating herself so that she could come back in 2016 to run for president. So you're talking about somebody who is so fundamentally flawed. To do that with the lives of innocent Syrians and Libyans, and people all over the region. I mean, look at the collapse of the whole Obama campaign against the Taliban. Obama and so Hillary herself in her book takes credit for major steps with the Taliban in diplomatic history. Okay. And the people that she was talking about, Obama just murdered one of them. I mean, not murdered, killed, appropriately killed one of them, Mansour, right? Because all of the Obama-Hillary initiative had come to nothing.
I need
a map to follow where we are now.
We're in Afghanistan and Pakistan, Baluchistan specifically.
But this is
something
that I
wonder. That's
where
Mansour was killed by Obama, which I applaud.
Yeah, but I wonder, Chris, if this is part of the problem of the way that we're going to see this campaign play out. The simple question was, you know, what do you think of the way that Hillary Clinton is attacking Trump? And
she hasn't hit her stride.
She's not going to attack him.
Yeah. Instead, what I get is
she already attacked him last week. She said he's not qualified to run for president.
That's not an attack. That's a factual statement.
Okay. All right.
Shared by the majority of Republicans.
Now who's doing talking points? That's a talking point.
No. All right. So real quick, we got about a minute, 2 minutes here. VP, what do we know this week that we didn't know last? What do you think?
Corker just today. Corker was at Trump Tower, but then he said, "I'm not under consideration. I'm not seeking it."
He's just getting a good dinner.
He just went up there for an ice cream cone or something.
That's a good
I don't know what he's
cone.
Doing.
It's a good place.
I don't think Sarah Palin is going to really be considered. Yeah. I think that you are going to see
somebody. Should tell Sarah that. FYI.
I think that you're going to see somebody. I think Trump's going to move in the direction of Washington. I think that he really is interested, and I think he is interested in something unusual about Washington.
So he needs like an outsider.
Someone Washingtonian who's an outsider who is not Ted Cruz.
I think Newt Gingrich is sitting down in Naples, Florida, sort of rubbing his hands together, thinking,
yes.
me, pick me.
I think that's true. I think that Newt would like to be what Ford requested of Reagan in 1980. Of course, everybody remembers what I'm talking about. Ford asked to be prime minister. The price for Ford getting on the ticket with Reagan in 1980 was for Ford to be prime minister, essentially, and to run the government, and Reagan to be head of state. And that was not agreed to by Reagan, and it was not agreed to by Ford. And then Reagan picked up the phone and called Bush.
All right. On the other side of the aisle, Democrats, who is Hillary Clinton thinking about here? I'm intrigued by this because the Democrats on the street salivate at the idea of bringing a progressive in like an Elizabeth Warren or, you know, Bernie Sanders. But we understand that that may not happen. but the who do you think that Secretary Clinton is looking towards?
Well, a Kate McKinnon, Larry David ticket would be pretty great if you saw this week's Saturday Night Live. I don't know who she's thinking of. I know that the vetting operation is extraordinarily complicated. I think that, you know, we've all seen the names floated. Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, Labor Secretary Tom Perez. These are terrific candidates who I think bring a lot of progressivism in their own backgrounds that they could bring to the ticket. I would say about whether it's Senator Kaine or Senator Warren or others, I think Democrats and Hillary in particular are also aware of the tight balance that Democrats will have in the Senate. And it would be not surprising to see her look elsewhere.
Yeah, stay out of the Senate. Tracy Seffel, Chris Roebling, Touche, tremendous, tremendous performance tonight. Chris especially, you did a great job. Chris Roebling, Tracy, great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Hope to have you back.
That'd be great.
Touche.